Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Hi, this is Carmen Amaros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe, a program featuring interviews with public figures, celebrities, writers, authors, artists, playwrights, counselors, lecturers, as well as independent artists and musicians, all here on the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Welcome. I'm so glad you're here today. This is Carmen Amaros podcasting from the New York Podcasting Cafe. Today, I am podcasting out of Rockefeller Center's Grand Concourse downstairs. So just ahead of me, I see that the skaters skating on the rink with the Christmas tree directly above us. And to the right is the Sea Grill. And then directly behind me is Starbucks. And they were nice enough to let me place my equipment here on their table while people listen and watch and gawk and do whatever it is that they're doing while they enjoy their coffee. Rhonda Hansen is going to be my guest today. And she is noted for not playing coy, but is said to tickle one's fancy. She says she's a fool on rollerblades and a lapsed Catholic listening. She's an outstanding comedian, Backstage Bistro award winner who has appeared on a few hit shows. Louie, Saturday Night Live, Caroline's Comedy Hour, Stand Up Spotlight, Arsenio Hall, Evening at the Improv, Showtime at the Apollo, and the Joan Rivers Show as her movie reviewer. Rhonda has appeared as an opening act with Anita Baker, Diana Ross, and Aretha Franklin, just to name a few. She's home on a cruise ship's casino or comedy club stage and has developed her provocative sense of foolery in New York at the original homes of Catch a Rising Star and The Improv. She's an international jester. Her Divorced and Bitter tour was recently presented in Tel Aviv, and she has appeared on the London Underground TV show and entertained U.S. troops in Korea. Her intelligent yet down-to-earth humor is fresh as tomorrow's headlines. Her characters and quips delivered with seasoned skill offer unexpected laughs at the everyday. Rhonda has appeared on various television programs and movies, appearing as Bermuda in Pretty Woman. Her role as Mrs. Johnson in the dramatic web series Disciplinary Actions, EEP2, has been praised. She plays a casting director from hell in the comedy web series Black Actress. Join me in welcoming Rhonda Hansen to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Hey, Rhonda. How
have
you been?
Hey, Carmen. How are you?
Hey, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, I have been up to my eyeballs. Up to my eyeballs in stand-up, in storytelling, and preparations for directing. I mean, the things are pretty full. You know, the holidays have rushed in here, so it's a lot going on, and I love it. I love it.
I see that you have been busy. I read in your My Thursday blog post that you are actually setting up to direct some kind.
Well, it's actually a musical. It's a live play that I will be directing in the spring. So now we're in our pre-production phase where we are trying to get casting done. I've already, you know, started canvassing people about casting, and I'll be talking with the musical director. And then we'll be rolling into rehearsals after we audition people. So that's, you know, that's an ongoing process that takes a lot of time and energy and involves a lot of people. Yeah.
I see also that you're still doing all the other stuff. You're doing the stand-up and you're probably...
Yeah, so, you know, for me, Carmen, it really is time management. So, like, I know that the play Made in Southeast Queens, the musical that I'm going to be directing, that'll be at Black Spectrum Theater in March, at the end of March. I know I have to start working back from that time to schedule all of the pre-production, to get my rehearsal schedule together, and then also to work in my stand-up to make sure I know I can fit certain dates into that schedule. It's very interesting. It's all time management, and you know, as a woman who does a lot of different things, you just have to make sure you know you're in the right place at the right time for the event that your calendar actually says you do.
true. I find that when I'm doing one thing, I can't do another. If I'm singing, I can't really be podcasting.
Oh, Carmen, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because so many people are touting the idea of multitasking. And when I look at people who can successfully do that, I admire them. For me, I like to try to get one thing done at a time and get it done fully. When I try to multitask, I feel like I'm Lucille Ball with things, you know, popping off one way and another. I like to do one thing at a time and really give it my full attention and experience it, because in today's world, we're actually being programmed to have no attention span.
True. Yeah.
You know, the short attention span theater is nothing compared to what we are living now, and so, you know, I am one of those who likes to take things one step at a time, even though I'm involved in so many different things, so many different things.
You actually started doing stand-up first. Am I correct?
I started out as an actress, actually. I studied with the original Negro Ensemble Company, where I worked with a lot of Broadway stars and got training from some of the best. This was the original Negro Ensemble Company that was on St. Mark's Place quite some time ago. I studied there, and I actually did an internship with them on Broadway on a famous and very good Broadway play called The River Niger. So I started out in the theater, and I was on some cable channel, and I saw a black woman, Alice Arthur, doing stand-up. And I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. I think I can do that. And I started working on the stand-up. And at that time, the stand-up really took off for me. Now, when I say at that time, I'm talking about when the original Catch a Rising Star, the original improv, when those places were the hot spots of New York, you know.
Yes.
I was fortunate enough to be past that or accepted to perform in both of those clubs, both the original Catch a Rising Star. At that time, Bill Maher and Adrian Tolsch were the major MCs there. And I was also at the Improv where Silver, Bud Friedman's ex-wife, had gotten the club, where Silver, you know, ran things. It was her fiefdom. Yeah. And every night there were producers and celebrities in the clubs every single night. And it's very exciting. The clubs would stay open and sometimes until 2 o'clock in the morning, because people were there that long. And famous comics were always coming in. And I had the opportunity to develop my material in that environment. And I really wasn't getting a lot of roles. One of the things that I said was that I always was asked to either play a maid or a hooker. I didn't mind, because I knew I'd always say the same thing, I'm coming. But I really wanted, you know, to have a little more expression. I wanted a wider audience. And so I started doing the stand-up, and I got that in the clubs. And fortunately for me, I met up with a manager, Dave Jonas, who was part of the Friars organization, actually. Mm-hmm. And Dave Jonas started managing me, and he got me work in the Catskills, in Vegas, in Tahoe, in Atlantic City, and my tours with major musical acts like Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, Anita Baker, the Pointer Sisters, which it gave me a tremendous, tremendous opportunity.
Wow. But before that, I think you did some movies also, right? Some
high-profile movies. Oh, my gosh. I was on the first night of shooting Pretty Woman. I was on the first night of that. And, you know, there's something to be said about being ignorant, Carmen. We were shooting on the street in Los Angeles, so, you know, it was a street location. Of course, I was playing a hooker, right? And so I go into the makeup trailer, and the makeup woman is putting the makeup on me. And I turn around to the girl next to me, who's also dressed like a hooker, and I say, do you know your lines? Are you ready for this? And she looks at me, and she goes, yeah. And because I asked her that because Gary Marshall, who is a director, does a lot of improv. And so they hadn't really set things down as to how they were going to be. But she said, yeah, she knew her lines. And so I go out and I do my thing, you know, playing the hooker on the street, sticking my head in cars and stuff like that. Turns out
that girl
I spoke to was Julia Roberts. You know, she wasn't the Julia Roberts. It was just Julia Roberts. I think she had done Mystic Pizza, but I wasn't aware of it. And you know, it's just so funny. But yes, I did that, and a few other spots, like in Trading Places and things like that. But I really seem to flourish in the stand-up area. At this point now, I'm looking to reestablish myself in film, on camera, I hope, you know, to actually start creating some vehicles for myself and some of my associates who are in a certain demographic, who, you know, we really need to have that opportunity now to see women other than those who are 30 and under, you know,
yes,
on the camera. So I'm open to working, you know, with independent people and with, you know, progressive-minded directors. I'm always open to that. And I think, and that's another reason why I'm so impressed with you, you know, doing this podcast, is that it's time for me to start creating opportunities for myself and others.
That's wonderful.
You know, instead of thinking, oh, somebody is going to do this for me. Someone is going to, you know, put me in there.
True.
And of course, I love working with people. I love collaboration. To me,
yes,
that's a very exciting thing because you never know what kind of chemistry you're going to have with someone else, and you stimulate each other, and these ideas, you know, come up, and boom, you have something magnificent.
You are listening to NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe.
I totally agree with you on that. Things just don't come down from the sky. You have to create them. You have to generate them. And I believe in that. I believe in production, in scripting your own play, directing your own film. I believe in that completely. A lot of people become actors with the hope that, you know, somebody will choose them or cast them for a film. But sometimes the work is so little, you know. People literally have to create.
Sometimes the work
funding
is little, and sometimes people's imaginations are small, and they can't see you beyond, you know, certain aspects of, you know, what they can view. And so that's why I think it's important to always be thinking about what you can create for yourself. And this is going to be an exciting year for me in moving forward on that.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you, Carmen.
I'm so excited for you. I'm going to be keeping an eye out for whatever filming you do in the area.
Well, I love people keeping an eye out for me, and they can do that on Twitter with @RhondaHandsome or check on my my website, RhondaHandsome.com. And that's Rhonda Handsome, like a handsome man, but no D in there. There's no D in handsome. And I'm also on Instagram and Tumblr and, you know, all of these social media platforms. And you know what, Carmen? I just joined Periscope yesterday.
You did?
And I haven't done anything yet. And you know what? If I had some makeup on, I would actually probably Periscope our talking right now. but I didn't get my makeup on. So I said, I don't want to scare people off right away. So I'll wait before I do my first Periscope broadcast.
I know. I worry about everything. I worry about the contouring and making sure that the light is right. And it's crazy.
But you have to think of those things. This week, Saturday, I did a show with a woman who I've known for decades. She broadcast out of Manhattan Neighborhood Network. It's the Carmen Mathis Show. And I did what's going to be the first show of the new year for her. And I thought I had done my makeup all well and beautiful, and I'm taking selfies and posted them on Facebook. And her makeup woman came in and put some under-eye concealer on me, and I look like a totally different woman in 10 years. Younger. I said, well, so much for my skills, you know. I got to work on this stuff.
You know, they have that dimethicone stuff. They actually lace over the wrinkles so you don't see them.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy what they could do with makeup now. I think they have to come up with something with high definition, you know, having
high definition really gets in there. All of a sudden, you can swim in somebody's pores, you know. But you try to be concerned for as much as you can, and then what you don't have control over, you let go, and you let the expression and the ideas and your content speak. Mm-hmm. You know, you're absolutely right. You're concerned about technical things, aesthetic things, but then you also have something to say. You have some substance. You have a message, and you let your creation speak.
Do you plan to write anything? Do you have anything that you're scripting or writing?
You know, I'm so glad you asked me about that, Carmen. I have a piece that is called CPR, A Love Story, Civilian Police Reconciliation, A Love Story. And it's a play, and it is so timely. It's actually about an incident of police brutality. And unfortunately, it is timely. It is something that is in the news every single day. And I am looking forward to having that received in 2016. I have not worked on it, and people have expressed interest in it over the years, and I'm going to make sure that you know when this play that I've written, CPR, A Love Story, actually is available for people to experience. And so, some of it is actually based on my own true experiences. You know, it's so funny when I say that I did a storytelling event at Don't Tell Mamas. I'm with a group there called Groovin' on a Sunday Afternoon with Anne McCormick
and Woody Reagan.
Yeah, and I frequently do storytelling and sing as well. People don't even know. I started in cabaret. I used to write my own songs and sing and do stand-up characters, and I've actually come full circle, and I'm back doing that. And I told a story at Don't Tell Mama, and people just would not believe it was actually true. There was a hush in the room, and people were looking at each other as like, is she serious? Did this really happen? And I had to tell them, yes, this really happened to me. And I love that when you can capture an audience either with suspense or with laughter or with pathos. I mean, you know.
Or they stop breathing.
Yes, exactly. They stop breathing. Carmen, I love it. I'm very fortunate to be a person who has all of these different opportunities to express myself and play with an audience, you know. I was doing improv with the First Amendment Improv Company, which was great training for me, and out of that came a spinoff of Funny Ladies, which was the first all-female improv troupe in New York City. At the same time, there was a group called High Heeled Women who did sketches, but what the Funny Ladies that I was part of, we did straight improv, and it was all great funny women, including Nancy Lombardo, and actually Nancy Lombardo.
Nancy.
Was the engine behind both First Amendment and also Funny Lady. She has such a quick wit. I have been blessed to have known her for decades and to be able to call her a friend. And we still have lunch together. And we still hang out. But improv was one of my beginnings, doing improvs with Nancy Lombardo. And then I went into cabaret. You know, we would sing in the improvs as well. And then I decided to go into the cabarets with my characters, my songs, and my stand-up,
Being a serious actor or performer, to me, it's not that difficult. But how did you lose your self-consciousness for comedy? How did you do it?
Just being greedy for the spotlight, Carmen. Like, when I saw how people could just be focused on you, and the thing is, it's just you and the mic and the spotlight. Yes, when people would just, you know, give you their full attention, and then you could hear them laughing at you and with you and through you. I never felt self-conscious about that at all. My mother was always a theatrical person, and she would walk around the house doing monologues and singing and carrying on. And I think I got a lot of that lack of self-consciousness from her as far as performing. In real life, I'm very shy. Well, I don't know what to say real life.
Most performers are.
If I'm not on the stage, you know, in fact, a lot of people, when they're around me, they look at me, they have no idea that I'm a comic. But once I know it's my time to go on, I just love being in that spotlight, breathing in that atmosphere, and hearing and feeling the response and having that exchange with the audience.
I love your brand of comedy. It is intellectual, self-deprecating at the same time, and you bring humor into things that people go, oh my goodness, taboo, you know, she can say that, how could she say that, but people are on the floor.
Well, you know what, Carmen, I have gotten that reaction, I have gotten that review that my punchlines are unexpected, that my train of thought is a little
crazy. I agree.
And people just don't realize that that's where I'm taking them. But that's the fun of it, you know? That's the fun of it.
Like when you start talking about the sisters, I actually feel like I'm a sister. You know, I don't feel like I'm laughing at the sister about your blackness or about the things that happen to a black person. But I feel like I'm a part of that. Like I am one of the sisters, you know?
I love that. Just, and that's what I want to do. I don't want my comedy to be divisive. I do not intentionally want to be divisive or disruptive.
Right.
I want to be inclusive. Actually, as a teenager, I was part of what was at the time called human relations groups. And I was part of the National Conference of Christians and Jews, and I was actually, as a teenager, the director of their drama group of the National Conference of Christians and Jews. I also worked with a group called the Panel of Americans, and both of these groups were about opening people up to understanding what is the commonality between us, and while we could still celebrate what was different about us. So I have taken that from my personal life and my social activism, and I hope to keep it in my comedy as well.
I hope you do. I saw a whole lineup of comedians over the past several years over at the Actors Temple, and you were one of them, and I just couldn't wait to see you up on that stage.
Oh, my gosh. Carmen, I am so delighted that Bob Greenberg has asked me to do that benefit at the Actors Temple, because it's a great cause to support the Actors Temple, but it's also a great opportunity for me to be with some of the best of my comrades in comedy.
Yes.
And, Pat Cooper was there one night, Ross Bennett and Nancy Lombardo and Corey Kincaid. I mean, the list goes on and on of people who have been practicing this craft for years and who are extraordinary at eliciting laughter, and to be part of that is just a delight for me. I look forward to it, and then I meet new people. That's how I met you, and I just love the opportunity of connecting with new people and also being able to say hi to old pals. Yeah.
Yes, I have met so many amazing people through the Actors Temple and the comedy benefits, and I hope people, more and more people, attend them, you know.
Oh, yes.
We're going to P&R them a lot more this year.
Oh, great. Because, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Have you ever experienced any nightmares as an actor or comedian? What was your worst nightmare on stage, on film, or...
Well, it wasn't really I didn't dream it. It actually happened to me. I toured with Anita Baker for 2.5 years, opening her show.
Oh, my favorite.
Oh, she was a doll to me. She was absolutely sweet. But one of our shows was in Greenville, North Carolina, and I was traveling with the backup singers, and we all got to the venue with the band. But Anita was traveling with her chauffeur, and he took her to South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, and we were all in North Carolina at the venue. So that meant when it was time for the show, she was just realizing she was in the wrong place. So we held up the show at the venue, and then when they knew she was on her way, they told me to go out there to a crowd who had been standing in the heat for about 25 minutes or half an hour, and threw me up on the stage, starting the show late. When I got out there, they were looking for Anita Baker. And they started yelling, "You're not Anita, you're not Anita, you're not Anita." And you know what? I had to say, "You're damn right I'm not Anita." I got through my set somehow, and she arrived, you know, and when I came off, I could not see, I couldn't hear, and I could barely breathe. And that was the toughest situation for me, because let me tell you something, being the opening act for any big name musical star, I've worked with Smokey Robinson, the Pointer Sisters, you know, the Diana Ross. It's a dream gig, because you get up and you do 15, 20 minutes, whatever they want you to do up front. You don't have to worry about filling the seats. They are right. Wonderful to you. You're paid well and on time. You know, all of your transportation and hotel is taken care of, and you have a great time. And this was the last thing I expected, to get up on stage and hear people shouting, "You're not Anita, you're not Anita, you're not Anita."
Oh, my
goodness. But the thing was, they had been there for so long, at least a half an hour past the showtime start, you know, and then they put me up there late. But I'll tell you something, I have had the best experiences with that tour, especially when I walked down 6th Avenue and saw my name on Radio City, a music hall marquee, you know, Rhonda Hanson, you know, Anita Baker, you know, with Rhonda Hanson.
Wow.
Something like that is just, you know, it's a thrill beyond, you know, description.
Can actually be put through the fire is a credit in and of itself to you as a professional.
You.
Truly.
Thank you. You know. Well, you know, the fire never stops. It's always the fire the next time, Carmen. The fire never stops. It really doesn't.
No.
It really doesn't.
It certainly doesn't.
You are listening to NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with Carmen Amoros.
Have you ever had one of those scenarios where you missed a performance?
Well, I don't like doing that. I have a very strong work ethic. I like, I enjoy working. My work excites me. I love it. And so I really don't have a lot of instances where I have not I have missed a performance. But I'll tell you something happened to me recently. I was part of a festival, and it's a new one, and I did not realize that it's a thing now in comedy to have a heckler show. When I was coming up in the improv, the original improv in the original Catch a Rising Star, hecklers were dealt with swiftly or either escorted out of the club. And I was in a festival where there was a heckler show, and that was very hard for me to handle because I had just had a death in the family, and the funeral was that day. And when I walked in, I said, I just can't understand why I'm here to be heckled. I can't handle it. You know, this is not something that is for me. And it was unfortunate that I hadn't advised the producers beforehand. But I think that is the first time I stayed for the show and I watched. And you know, the entire festival was very, you know, well produced and everything. But I understand now maybe this is something that, quote, the young people are doing now. But I think that when a comic has worked on material and style and substance, that I don't want to even give any audience the slight idea that they should interfere, that they should disparage, or that they should deny the opportunity of enjoying that person's handicraft. So short answer, yes, and it just happened recently. But I'm a good worker, and I almost never miss a performance on purpose. I like my work. I like getting paid. I like showing up for work. I like hearing the laughs and getting the accolades, and I love, you know, being around my fellow performers.
If there were one role that you would love to play, what role would that be?
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you ask me that. I would like to play someone who is very rich and powerful. Mm-hmm. If I could play any role, I would like to play someone who is rich and powerful. Because, you know, I'm aware that type is very important, especially on camera, that visual impact. But I would like to, so things that I've been selected to do have been, never been very rich, powerful people. That's what I would like to play, the President of the United States.
I think you could carry that very well.
Yes. Yes, or the head of a major multinational corporation, you know, something where I get to wield power in a very strong way, or a role in which my character has unlimited funds, money is no object, and you get a chance to see the proclivities and intricacies of having as much money as you desire. So there you go. I'm ready to play those roles.
Do you think that it's necessary for life to imitate art? Do you think it's necessary for you to have the money first, or do you think you can pull it off without?
Acting. If we're talking about acting, you know, I can do that with my eyes open, closed, sideways.
Well, you just told the universe, so.
Yes.
So it may just happen. Just
I have spoken happen. It into the universe thanks to you, Carmen.
Where can we find you? Like, are you doing anything in New York City over the next, say, before you start directing? Or
Yes. I work in New York City at clubs and theaters. If people go to my website, Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, Hansome, HANSOME.com, and click on my calendar. I usually have a list of where I am, but I'm also on Facebook, Rhonda Hansome Comedy on Facebook, and on Twitter. I'm always tweeting what I'm doing and on there. And you can find me on most social media platforms. And as soon as I put some makeup on, people will be able to find me on Periscope. I love playing at the Broadway Comedy Club in New York City. Al Martin has always been very, very nice to me. I love playing there. I love playing at the New York Comedy Club. And I always tell people, if you want to see me, you know, even if you're not in New York City, no matter where you are, if you want to see me, you ask the manager of the comedy club to have Rhonda Handsome come in. That's all you have to do. Is tell them you want that one funny Negro. That's what my mother says about me. Rhonda Handsome is one funny Negro. And your listeners, anytime they want to see me on Long Island or in Connecticut or New Jersey or Florida, you know, wherever your listeners are, if they would like to experience my brand of comedy, they just have to ask the person at the nearest comedy club to them.
Or we can probably start a Facebook page and get you back on SNL on Saturday Night Live.
It's funny you should mention that.
I don't like the
first
doing now.
Show of Saturday Night Live with the Muppets. And
you were Vaz, right?
Yes, I was Vosh. It was an extraordinary experience. And it actually gave me a mini career in puppetry. I was taught by Frank Oz and Jim Henson, the creators of the Muppets. That's who taught me. You know, Carmen, I'm just amazed at the wonderful opportunities that I have had. Can you imagine, just going into a class every week to be taught by Jim Henson and Frank Oz?
That
was really a wonderful experience. And then to find out that I was going to be on a brand new show, Saturday Night Live, and I had known Garrett Morris from the theater world, and I was just delighted to be on that show with Garrett Morris, and then to see all of these comics. Especially the women. There was Lorraine Newman and Gilda Radner, these women getting a chance to goof off on this new live show. I would love to do if I was on Saturday Night Live? I would like to play Leslie Jones's mother or her crazy aunt. That's what I would like to do because I think she's just fantastic. You know, it's been on quite some time. The show's been on quite some time, and they're always looking for a new chemical, a new alchemy for it. So, I could add something in there every once in a while. But, yes, I was on the very first show.
I was wondering because I saw something about the Land of Gorsh, and then I was, oh, my goodness, she was really in SNL.
Yes, I was. It's so funny, when people who don't know me, when I'm at these clubs or mics where people don't know me and they ask me for my credit, what do you want me to say about you? I'll say Saturday Night Live or Louie, and they look at me and they go, really? I go, you ask me. I tell you, you don't believe me. What can I say? It's so funny. But yes, I was on Saturday Night Live, and I was also on Louie, the Eddie episode of Louie, and that was really quite an event for me because I admire Louis C.K. so much. He's someone who has, taken the expression of his humor to another level, and he managed to get a deal where he can do just about anything that he wants to. So to be able to watch him in person and then be paid to be on the show was really nice. That was really nice.
I think you can literally write the whole show. I've watched you in action. You can write the whole show.
I love writing, and I don't do it enough. That's another thing that I have just decided that I will give myself the pleasure of enjoying my writing more this year. I really do love words. I love writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Catholic school girl. I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns literally beat it into you. The whole idea of expressing yourself in the written way. They were crazy about making sure you did the cursive handwriting. That you know everything. and you know it's from a different era. But I really got a lot out of learning to do research and learning to take the time to express myself in writing. It's a little different from tweets, which you know, Twitter is like 140 characters and you're out. But I haven't quite mastered that one yet. But I love writing. I do my blog, Thursday blog on shesofunny.org. That's shesofunny.org. I do my Thursday blog there. And I'm going to expand, but if you know people want to see some of my insight into my personal life and some of my fantasy life and my creative life in the written word, they can check out shesofunny.org and look for the posts by Rhonda Hanson.
Yes, I've been enjoying reading some of your blogs. Very interesting. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yes, yes, I do. And all of these things, you know, are in process. You know, some people have such fancy cover art and fancy effects and techniques going on. I'm still learning how to manipulate all of these platforms, but I invite people to view my work on YouTube, to read my blog, to see, you know, my visual jokes on Instagram or Tumblr and to stay up with my posts about the shows that I'm doing on all the media.
You do have your pulse on it, so that's the important thing. The cover, you can throw a cover photo up here and there. You can use the same one across all the social networks. But the actual gift of comedy, the actual gift of acting and directing, you can't just get that easily.
Folks
it has
to
be
come
made.
Out to experience that for
yeah.
them.
Yeah, so yes.
And I hope that some of your wonderful listeners will respond not only to you, but reach out to me, you know, at Rhonda Hanson on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or Tumblr or, you know, wherever, and let you know, that they enjoy the diverse peeks into people's lives that you offer, Carmen. You have a very nice you know way of just you know getting people to open up and talk about themselves. It's very nice.
The experience of the folks that I interview plays a big role in it too. A lot of folks realize, hey, I'm a newbie. Let's go easy on her.
Well, you're doing well. You're doing well.
Thank you. Do you coach? Do you do any coaching?
Yes, I do, and I love that. I love that because I have some, I have wonderful clients that I work with, wonderful people who trust me and who I work with in coaching in the theater for acting, but also in stand-up. I have comics that I work with, you know, if they have an audition coming up or if they have a big show that they want to organize their material around. I do that. And I also work with playwrights. I also, you know, work with playwrights when they are developing original work. So, yes, I do all of that, Carmen.
That's wonderful to hear because I'm in the process of writing a couple of things. I've started a few scripts, but I'm nowhere near like a third of the way through either of them. But that's so good to know. It's good to have experienced people take a look at what you have to offer.
I was a longtime member of the Frank Silvera Writers Workshop. This is a long-running theater playwrights workshop. I had the pleasure of acting in the pieces, but also directing many, many, many of the pieces in readings and working with the writers on their scripts. I also went to the Lincoln Center Directors Lab. This is a laboratory that they
have huge.
Every year for directors from all over the world, actually. It's an international population there. And so I have had, you know, the benefit of various organizations where I have been, you know, able to ply my skills or to develop my skills as a director and then work with people on their plays. I have directed many comedians in their solo shows. In fact, I did that kind of work with Nancy Lombardo when she had her her Christmas show.
Yeah, I went to see it. I think it might have been about a year ago or 2 years ago.
It was
I walked in at this time.
Yeah. Was a solo Christmas show that she did.
Nice venue too.
At the People's Improv Theater. Oh, wasn't that a beautiful venue?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, very nice.
Really
the pit,
nice.
The pit.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to share with the audience? Anything inspiring, something encouraging before we close the interview?
Oh, well, I want your audience to understand the tremendous healing power of laughter. I want them to understand that if they are ever feeling down, ever feeling depressed, ever feeling like they just don't want to go on, I want them to not give up and think about laughing at one funny Negro.
Oh.
I am one funny Negro. I'm not your grandma's comic, but your crazy aunt is loves me. She just loves me. People can become very despondent sometimes, Carmen, laughter is healing. So I would ask your audience to look to the laughter. Don't give up. Look to the laughter.
Look to the laughter. That's right. There are many tools that we've been given to seek out joy and happiness.
Yeah.
And that, it's not just one channel. There's so many different channels
to
enjoying life.
Yes. Yes,
that's correct.
Yes. We are here to enjoy, and we never know when it's going to stop, so we might as well reach for the gusto.
Well, Rhonda, thank you so much for being on my program. Thank you for being such an inspiration to me.
My pleasure.
To my husband, to all of us in the New York community and abroad, and I just cannot wait to see your upcoming productions.
Thank you so much, Carmen.
And I hope that you'll come back, you think, maybe?
I would love to. Absolutely.
I look forward to having you back on the New York Podcasting Cafe, and people can find you, again, on Facebook. It's R-H-O-N-D-A. Handsome, H-A-N-S-O-M, as in mom, E, on Facebook. You have the
Twitter.
The Twitter, which is also
at Rhonda Handsome. Yes, yeah.
Right, at Rhonda Handsome.
On Tumblr, One Funny Negro, and on Instagram, Rhonda Full. Just look for Rhonda Handsome or Rhonda Handsome Comedy.
It'll pop up.
Maybe the Arsenio Hall show that I did will come up, or, you know. Or me telling a very scary story from my really true life, you know. But just look for me and I'll be there. If anybody wants me, all they have to do is say, help me, Rhonda, help me, Rhonda, and I'll be there.
Wonderful. I know that I will be looking, that's for sure. Thank you so much for being on the program. I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to an interview with Rhonda Handsome. Yes, the one and only Rhonda Handsome. I just love that lady. I love her performances. I love talking to her. I love her as a person. She's just so wonderful. You can reach her at Tumblr under the name of One Funny Negro. Yes, that's right. That's the name she goes under on Tumblr. You can also reach her on Twitter at her tag, which is at
R-H-O-N-D-A, handsome, without the D, and that's R-H-O-N-D-A-H-A-N-S-O-M-E on Twitter. You can also find her at www.facebook.com/Rhonda_handsome. She's also available on her website, her official website, which is RhondaHandsome.com. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you soon. You are listening to NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe with Carmen Amoros.